You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to episode 21 of the Great British Chiefs Show with your boys from the Kingdom, representing the Kingdom, myself, Brad Simcox, aka the Brit Chief, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs. In this week's show, Tom and I will be licking our wounds after watching the Chiefs literally give it away in Baltimore. And we'll be looking ahead to the Week 3 matchup as the Chargers head to Fortress Arrowhead. But first, I feel like I should actually do that intro as Bill Belichick. How's it going, Chiefs Kingdom? Because, mate, I'm down in the dumps. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Is this where we're going to say we're on to Los Angeles? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay. I've had better weekends. I'm not going to lie. So, you know what happened. I might as well tell the story to the Chiefs Kingdom. On Saturday afternoon, I was sat upstairs just playing my computer, just playing my games. And all of a sudden, I heard from my three-year-old downstairs going, "Oh, no, the TV. What happened? My boys were messing around and they knocked the TV over onto the floor. We thought it was fine. Didn't see any damage on the screen, whatever. Okay, it's fine. Accidents happen. Not to worry. Until 2 hours later, when I come downstairs to sit down, put on some college football, put on the screen, and I just saw a spider web, cracks everywhere. The TV was done. It was done. And I've only had that TV since December. So I had to go out on Sunday, spend a lot of money on a new TV, best part of $600-$700 on a new TV that I didn't need Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So that, paired with the fact that the Chiefs threw away one at 4 o'clock in the morning on our time over here, just not the greatest weekend. Let's be honest.
Sounds like you've had a worse weekend than me.
Yeah.
I would
Arsenal
give you that.
that's a good thing. Arsenal won a football game, so I care about Arsenal. Obviously, I love Arsenal, but now I'm to the point now where I'm just numb to Arsenal results now. Like, I enjoy the wins, but if they lose, I'm just kind of like, it is what it is. I'm used to it. But because I'm so used to success for the Chiefs, when they lose, it doesn't go down very well, especially when they lose when they should win. The Super Bowl I was kind of okay with, because we all know what happened there with the offensive line. I was okay with it. Sunday's loss was inexcusable. It shouldn't happen. And here we are, what, 2-3 days later, and I'm still kind of in a mood about it.
I mean, should we get straight into it? Yeah, a bit like a band-aid, just rip it off. Let's get through that.
Let's get through the first half of this show and then look ahead to why we should be positive, shall we? Let's look at the negatives first.
We were very high on this as being, you know, the Chiefs are the Ravens' kryptonite, and you know, Mahomes is going to go 4-0 against Lamar Jackson. We were saying this on our previous show.
Mm.
And I also remember something that you said in the show, that you always want to see Patrick Mahomes with the football.
Yeah.
Don't take it out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And what did the Chiefs do towards the end of the game? They took it out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. And that thing has just been going over and over and over in my mind. Seeing that play and then just thinking about what you said on the show, I was like, Tom, why did you have to be so right?
Why did I have to be that specific? Why did I have to say it last week and say, don't put the ball in Clyde Edwards-Helaire's hands, keep it in Patrick Mahomes? I just like need to just have a beer. Like, I'm just gonna open one now. There's a sound. Because like Let's drown our sorrows together, Chiefs Kingdom. I'm currently drinking a glass of San Miguel, Spanish lager. It's pretty nice. Pretty
beers gassy. Are available.
Yeah. Other beers are available. Yeah. We're not sponsored yet by a beer company. If anyone wants to, they can just contact us. We'll do some advertising for them, whether Pete allows us to or not. We'll just do it anyway. It's a funny one that we're going to start backwards and we're going to go straight towards the end of the game. But I was convinced, like, as soon as, like, the Ravens scored and they went up a point, and especially when they failed on the two-point conversion as well, I was, like, so chilled. I was just sitting there thinking, like, all I was thinking about was Sunday Night Football against the Raiders last year when Derek Carr, they scored too early, and then they give Patrick Mahomes ample time. We had three timeouts. I thought, this is it. We're definitely getting in with field goal range because we've got Patrick Mahomes. At worst, we're going to see Harrison Butker attempt a 45 to 50-yard field goal for the win. And I probably would have been okay with that to begin with. But when we got to where we did, like the 33-yard line of the Ravens, so quickly, like there was still like 80 seconds left on the clock when Edwards-Helaire fumbled the football, that I was sitting there thinking, just take more time off, but do it with Patrick Mahomes. Don't do it with anyone else, because the run game was just awful all night. Every single time the Chiefs ran the football, there was a Ravens defender there, whether it was Patrick Queen or someone else. There was always someone there. All the first down runs that we kept doing were just so negative. And I just looked at the play call and I thought, there is no way in hell this isn't going to be a negative play, because if you look at the Ravens defense, they're just all at the line of the scrimmage because they are playing for the run or the short passing game. So as soon as the ball got handed off to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, there was 5-6 Ravens defenders all there ready to tackle him. So at best, you were going to lose 2 or 3 yards and going to make the field goal attempt harder for Harrison Butker. I just don't get it. Keep that ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. Let him find his receiver. He's such a clever player. There was such a small chance that was going to end badly for the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes having the ball, because he would have had 2 attempts to get 3 yards. And then if we make the first down, that is when you can run the ball or start to throw screenplays into the situation. Just don't hand it off earlier than you needed to. And they did. They should have kept rolling with Mahomes and just let Mahomes do his thing and put the ball and the game in the hands of the best player in the NFL. And this is harsh on Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he doesn't fumble. Like that's his first fumble in the pros. But there's always a chance with a running back that they are going to fumble, and the defenders are going out for that ball, aren't they? They are going in there to strip that ball. So I didn't like it. I didn't like how the game ended. It left a very bitter taste in my mouth. Like I almost broke 2 TVs in one weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a textbook thing that Andy Reid seems to do anyway, doesn't he? That, you know, well, any offensive coordinator will do is try and run that clock down as best they can, because Andy Reid's got Patrick Mahomes who's just eager to get down that field as quickly as possible, isn't he? That's the thing. But he's also got a smart mind on him. I mean, even if he's still going to be throwing the ball, he's still going to be, you know, you've got wide receivers who, I mean, Tyreek Hill's got a good brain on him as well to actually stay in bounds, you know, to run the clock down. I just don't get it. I just really don't get it. And like you were saying, I think you sent something out on Twitter before about, you know, there was a screenshot and every single Ravens play was literally.
I must stand corrected on that. It turns out I can't count. I thought it turns out that one of the down linemen, I thought there was two of them there, and I must have still been clearly tired from the night before because there was only one person there. The 11th guy, admittedly, is just out of shot. So for all the people that have been on me Twitter saying, "Oh, you can't count to 11," yes, you're right. I did get it wrong. Okay, I'll hold my hand up.
So there was a single high, is it safety there?
But you say single high, literally, like the guy's a yard back just from the last defender. Like he doesn't even class a single high. Like he was maybe 5 yards back from the line of scrimmage. Like all the Ravens defenders were there. But you're right in what you're saying. You've got the receivers that can get open in short space. You've got Travis Kelce, like who was balling out. You've got all these receivers, and you had 2 attempts at 3 yards with the greatest quarterback in the league. Like just go with him. I didn't get it. But the reason why they ran the football was because Andy Reid was petrified of us giving the ball back too early to the Ravens, and the Ravens just doing what they done all night and just driving at the Chiefs defense at will.
Yeah. All right. Let's touch on the glaringly obvious thing at the moment, which every Chiefs fan's talking about at the minute, is the defensive, should we call them frailties? I've got frailties down here, but it was just an absolute abomination, wasn't it? Of just it was calamity football, really. Yeah. I mean, apart from obviously, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, he got some good interceptions early on, which was, you know, you felt like, oh, this is great. This is, we're going to really turn them over here. And we did. We started getting this big lead up. Was it 11-point lead?
Yeah.
And you felt like the Chiefs were in the driving seat right from the start. And you thought, this is the only way this is going, it's going to be a dub. And whatever it is with this defense, I don't know what it, I mean, I'd like your thoughts on this, actually, because some people say it's scheme. Some people say it was lack of communication. Some people say it's the personnel. I mean, what is it do you think that is wrong with this defense at the minute, that it seems it can't stop a running tap at the minute? It seems so leaky.
Yeah, what's wrong specifically about this defense? Sorry, let me just get out my scroll.
How long have you got?
Yeah, exactly. There's no pass rush. The linebackers can't stop the run. They're poor situationally.
Yeah.
Some safeties can't tackle. One safety who was meant to be the next big thing at safety can't even get on the field.
Yeah.
It's just awful. It's awful. We've got a guy who's meant to be great against the run, not being great against the run. We've got an interior lineman playing defensive end, looking really good in the pass rush, but then being picked on in the run game. There's all sorts of things wrong with this defense. And the sad part about it is I don't know how or when it will get better, because I think teams are finally starting to realize what they have to do against the Chiefs. And that's just put the foot down. Just put the foot down and just go for it, because the chances of the Chiefs stopping you over four downs are so slim for 10 yards. Like, what, the Chiefs twice in two successive drives had the Ravens, what, first and 25? First and 20 and second and 25. Two drives on the row. And the Ravens got 10 points out of those drives. Like, come on. Like, what are they doing? Like, as soon as we got them to the deficit, and the first play after that, the Ravens would get 20 yards on just a dump off. Then the receiver would catch it and just literally have like open field in front of him to run for another 10, 15 yards. It was just poor. They couldn't do anything about Lamar Jackson. Like, that's kind of okay, because Lamar Jackson is special. Lamar Jackson. So I kind of, Lamar Jackson getting his doesn't really bother me. It's when we did make good plays, we didn't take advantage of them. When we did get them in negative situations, it never really felt like the Chiefs were going to be capable of getting a stop. Like when the Ravens were at 4th-and-1 with 30 seconds to go, did you really think that we were going to get stopped?
Yeah, you knew it was going to be. You knew that was it, didn't you?
I was ready there with the remote to turn the TV off and go to bed. Literally, my thumb was hovering over the power button. And as soon as I saw John Harbaugh mouthing to Lamar Jackson saying, "Do you want to go for this? Let's go," because everyone could read what they were saying. I was just thought, this game's over. There's no chance. There's just no faith in this defense at the moment. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, when's it going to get better? People are talking about Willie Gay like he's this savior, but what have we seen from Willie Gay in the past outside of really good preseason and training camp to make us believe that he's going to be the savior of this defense? Is a Will linebacker going to be the difference between this defense being good or bad? Like, I don't see it personally. That defense on Sunday was basically full strength outside of Willie Gay. And you can argue that Juan Thornhill would make it full strength, but clearly not in Steve Spagnuolo's eyes. Clearly not in his. He's starting Dan Sorensen over Juan Thornhill. So in Steve Spagnuolo's eyes, the only defender he was missing on Sunday was Willie Gay. And is Willie Gay going to be the difference between the Chiefs being good and bad? I don't think so. I think this is it. Yeah. I said earlier in the preseason that this is going to be the 2018 season revisited. And it's being right, Tom. Defense is terrible.
Stop it. Stop being right.
it's just not good. It's not good. It's and not teams there. Teams know this now, and they're just going to put the hammer down, and they're going to keep going at the Chiefs defense because they know they're not getting stops.
Yeah, I mean, teams have always been looking at trying to stop Patrick Mahomes when they don't really need to do that.
No.
They don't really need to stop Patrick Mahomes. They just need to just run it down the throats of the defense and hope to try and outscore them at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's the way
that
to play.
Seems to be the issue. Yeah,
you have to try and fight fire with fire.
Yeah,
and then hope that Patrick Mahomes and co have a few off drives. And that's exactly what happened on Sunday night. The Chiefs went out. They scored 35 points in the first 40 minutes. It looked easy. After the Kelce touchdown, I thought, this is it. This is game. That must have killed their momentum. But the Ravens did not let that get to them. They carried on plugging away. And then they got their stops on D. And then they got enough points to score. But talking about the offense, because they're not out of the woods on this, because the defense was bad. But we need to talk about the last 20 minutes on offense, because when was the last time a team scored 35 points that early in a game and then went on to lose?
Yeah.
40 minutes, they had 35 points and then didn't add another in the final 20 minutes. And they all they needed to do was add 3 points, one field goal, and they win this game. And they couldn't do it. It was like the playoff loss to the Colts. I'll whisper that one. It was like that.
It just triggered a lot of people there, mate.
I whisper it, but it was like that. It was that disheartening. Like, all you need is one more score. But they just couldn't get it. And it's just,
frustrating, wasn't it?
It just all went so passive in that last 20 minutes. Everything, they all thought the game was done, and it wasn't. And fair play, kudos to the Ravens for not letting the game get away from them, for hanging in there and then eventually taking the lead. But man, the Chiefs had no place losing this game. No place.
No. Talking about frustration, Chris Jones. Now, he's another one who's on everyone's lips at the minute, because I think I remember a play where Lamar Jackson was taking it on the run, and you could see Chris Jones was setting the edge. Well, he tried setting the edge. He just wasn't quick enough, basically. I mean, you know, you can't blame the guy for that, because Lamar Jackson is so elusive. He skips past you and he's gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
But is it time now, even in after week two, to stop the project of Chris Jones playing on the defensive end and put him back into the interior?
No, because the other defensive ends aren't very good.
Yeah. We could have had someone. Yeah. Ingram's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, I feel like the strength of the Chiefs' defensive line is in the middle, with or without Chris Jones. Like, you look at the guys in there, Jaren Reed, Turk Wharton, Derek Nardi. I would take them three. I would sooner two of them playing than one of Mike Dana or Josh Kando, because I just don't feel like they offer anything in the pass game. Now, you can say that obviously the Chiefs didn't get any pass rush on Sunday night. I think they had one sack, and that was Daniel Sorensen, wasn't it? In terms of defensive line pass rush, they didn't get anything. But let's just say this game was a fluke and that's not going to be the trend. But going forward, I would still rather have Turk Wharton and Jaren Reed and Chris Jones and Frank Clark on the field than have Derek Nardi, then say Jaren Reed, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and Mike Dana, because I don't feel like Mike Dana really offers anything in the pass game. Yes, he might be stout against the run in some instances, but in terms of ceiling, I think the other front four offers more in terms of ceiling, especially when we play against more pass-heavy teams.
The way I'm thinking of it is because we all know this game is clearly about finding the matchups, isn't it? Finding the mismatches.
Mm-hmm.
And defensive end Chris Jones, he's not the quickest of guys. Let's be honest with that.
Well, I don't know about that. He's pretty nifty.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a big unit to move as well, isn't he? When you're putting him up and you're trying to set an edge where you've got somebody like Lamar Jackson in that backfield, if you're Spagnuolo and you look at that and you think, right, we've got somebody who's pretty quick, are we really going to put some big unit like Chris Jones trying to set the edge?
I don't know, man. I think it's harsh to judge someone. I do. I think it's harsh to judge someone on going against Lamar Jackson. Like, we are talking about like the greatest running quarterback of all time here in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, for all of like everyone says Michael Vick, but like statistically it's going to be Lamar Jackson. He is going to be the greatest running quarterback of all time. So it's tough to sit here and say, oh, Chris Jones after a very good game against the Browns at defensive end, and sit around and say, oh, because he was bad against Lamar Jackson, saying, oh, maybe we should kick him back inside. I just look at the talent.
For that game, maybe they should have probably thought about it.
Maybe, yeah, but like, who's the replacement? Let's be honest. Yeah. Who's the replacement? I just don't think they could stop a cold on Sunday night. They were that bad. It didn't matter who was running the football, who the receivers were. They just couldn't stop anyone. It seemed to be a team thing, the tackling. Let's talk about the tackling. That was awful. And like Steve Spagnuolo said a month ago in a preseason press conference that the tackling needs to get better. They're working on tackling. Well, it isn't working. It's not working because the tackling was awful. What, Darren Thomas, he's missed like 9 tackles so far this season.
Yeah.
9? And one Thornhill still can't get on the field. Come on. Got to change it up. There's got to be changes because teams are going to work this defense out and they're just going to run on them. And they're going to, when they can't run on them, they're going to pass on them. They're just going to drive. And it's just going to be heat the pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And we know Patrick Mahomes can handle it, but come on, help the guy out a little bit. We've seen what happens when they help Patrick Mahomes with the defense. They win the Super Bowl. When you have to like go into a game knowing that Patrick Mahomes has to be outworldly to win a football game, that's just not fair. I know he gets paid the big bucks to do it, but come on, help him out. It's a team sport at the end of the day.
I suppose as we're coming to the end of this segment about the Ravens game, positives out of this is, I suppose the Chiefs have played two of the most run-heavy offenses that you could play this season.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the likes of the Browns, when you know they had the 1-2 punch that they had with Kareem Hunt and obviously Nick Chubb, and then you've got obviously the running game of you know Lamar Jackson.
Hmm.
But moving forward, are we just going to look at this and think, do you know what? That's just two teams that we've struggled against, but this defense is going to sort it out for the rest of the season because we don't have to face such a powerful offensive rushing unit like that anymore.
Yes and no. Like, you can sit there and say, right, that's it. We haven't got to face that type of offense the rest of the regular season. Teams will try to emulate it for sure, but they might not be as good here. But the fact of the matter is that Baltimore and Cleveland are going to be in the playoffs. They are two teams that we're going to have to face, potentially face in January. So you kind of want to know that you can come up against it. The silver lining, I suppose, you can look at 2019. We went to Tennessee and Derrick Henry ran for 1 million yards against us and they beat us in the last minute or whatever it was. And then we faced that same Titans team in the AFC Championship game of 2019 and what Derrick Henry done nothing. The defense was phenomenal. So there's plenty of time for the Chiefs defense to get better, but I just don't see how it does. That's my issue with it. It's not that they don't want to. I just don't know how. I don't know what they do to get better. And this isn't because it's not glaringly obvious or the fact that I'm not the greatest technically minded coach or whatever. It's just from my years of watching the sport, you see teams make adjustments to certain things. And we've gone through two games really, and we've not seen any adjustments at all because the two offenses have pretty much moved the ball at will against us in 2 weeks, what we've conceded the most amount of yards. One positive, I suppose, from the game is that Lamar Jackson's jump throw was like a Poundland / Walmart version of Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman against the Titans. Like, it was a good play. And Lamar Jackson played really well on Sunday, but let's not pretend that that jump pass was in Patrick Mahomes' league. Come on, Hollywood Brown could not have been more wide open if he tried. And Lamar Jackson kind of just hopped. Like, when Mahomes is against Tennessee Titans, that was a full-on jump and then like a laser into a well-guarded Mecole Hardman. Come on.
Did I hear Collinsworth say as well that he'd never seen that before?
Yeah. Well, come on. Come on, Collinsworth. Come on. No, Lamar played well. Lamar was good. He was genuinely good. And the Ravens thoroughly deserved their win. They really did.
Let's not take that away from them, no.
They deserve their win. I'm glad they won their Super Bowl. And
did you see the tattoo? Did you see that tattoo?
No.
The guy got the score and the date tattooed.
No.
On his leg. He has.
No.
He has.
No. For real.
For real, mate. For real. It's great. It's doing the rounds on Twitter at the minute. It's unreal. I was like, well, I mean, that's it right there, isn't it? That's like a poverty franchise straight away, that with the fan base, isn't it?
I hate that term. I hate that term.
Poverty franchise.
Yeah, just hate it. It's because whenever people use it quite often when it comes to Arsenal, where I say Arsenal are a poverty club, I just don't like it. I don't like that term.
Clearly never been to Newcastle then, have you?
Yeah. Have you got any sports tattoos? You've come across as the type of guy that will end up eventually getting like a Chiefs tattoo on you.
Really?
Yeah, I can see it. I can see you getting your little character for your Brit Chief logo on yourself.
What, tattooed on my butt or something like that?
Yeah.
You'll never know. You might see it in Newcastle this weekend. You don't know. Right, I think we'll take a break there. When we come back, we'll be doing the Arrowhead Pride Power Rankings, and we'll be looking ahead for the Week 3 matchup versus the Chargers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Tom Childs. We will be doing the power rankings in a minute, but first, we're looking forward to this weekend, aren't we, Tom? Because we've got a watch meet in Newcastle, in my kind of, I would like to say hometown, but it's not really kind of my hometown because I wasn't born here, but I still treat it as a hometown.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of the guys and gals coming up from Arrowheads Abroad. They're going to be coming up and joining us in this. It's their kind of thing. We're joining them, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We're just on the guest list, you know, the VIPs.
VIPs.
I'm going to walk in saying, do you know me? I've got a blue check mark on Twitter.
Just don't even say that because I've been denied twice now for that, which is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But we're looking forward to it. We're going to be watching, obviously, the Chargers, which we will be getting into in a bit as well. But we've got 3 days away, mate.
I know, I can't wait. 3 days away from my kids breaking my TV. I'm looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to Saturday night. And this is an open invite to any UK Chiefs fan or any NFL fan, really, if they want to come and join us. On Saturday night, we're going out in Newcastle, going out for a few beers, going out for a little dance. But the catch is that you have to dress up as Andy Reid. It's Andy Reid Appreciation Night in the UK. So Hawaiian shirts at the ready. I've got two Hawaiian shirts right now. I've got one that I have to button up completely, or I've got another where I can have it open top with a white t-shirt under, like Miami Vice type style. So I'm undecided what I'm going to go with. Both are green. But yeah, I'm going to do, I might need your fashion tips on a Saturday night, Brad, before we head out.
Yeah, chinos, mate. That's what you need. Chinos. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. I've only got one shirt though. So, but I'm looking forward to it, especially like you said, Andy Reid Appreciation Day. We're just going to be eating burgers. We're going to be wearing Hawaiian shirts. We're just going to we can't watch football on that day, but we're gearing up for the game like Andy Reid would.
We're not going to call run plays with Clyde Edwards-Helaire when we've got 2 minutes to go either.
We might do that in the park later on. I don't know. Depends how many beers we've had, mate.
Yeah.
Right. Should we get into the power rankings, the Arrowhead Pride power rankings, which you've done a nice little kind of video for this as well with Pete.
I have. I'm basically going to repeat what I said, repeat, in the next 2 minutes.
It's a regular thing.
He asked me and he said, oh, Tom, will you come and do a 2-minute video for Power Rankings? I was like, yeah. And the first thing I asked him as soon as we got on was like, is this live? That was the first thing. I was like, I don't do live. I just don't do live at all. We're doing a 2-minute video now to talk about the hot takes and Power Rankings, similar to what we're going to do on here. But let's jump straight into it. You've spread them now. You've seen what the guys of Arrowhead Pride have, how they've ranked the team. What stands out to you to begin with?
Well, obviously the Chiefs have dropped.
Obviously.
That's one thing, obviously. But I'm surprised they haven't dropped so far. after that display. But Chiefs obviously dropping down into third place now, which have been overtaken by the Rams, which they are looking hot property at the minute.
Yeah.
Really good hot property at the moment. But yeah, there's the other thing as well, which I've actually got this team a little bit higher up on my own kind of power ranking. I do my own because, you know, I don't get asked to do the Arrowhead Pride one anymore. But I've seen that the Raiders are on the up.
They are? So I assumed you were going to say they're on the up, but not that high compared to your own rankings. I assumed you were going to finish your sentence there, but you kind of
I
said the Raiders are on the up. Bars. It was like, you know, that scene in Borat.
Yeah.
We're trying to explain not jokes. Yeah. So, that suit is not bars black. That was what
you were doing. The Raiders are on the up. And it's not too surprising, really, because they have been playing pretty well. And Derek Hart, dare I say, he has been playing, pretty good football recently. I mean, I know he's apparently going to be injured for the next game, or maybe injured. We don't know yet. But the Raiders, yeah, it's a bit worrying looking at the Raiders, especially when you see them at the top of the AFC West at the moment. I know it's very early days at the minute, but the Raiders, I thought they would have been a bit higher in the Arrowhead Pride rankings, to be honest.
Yeah, we've got them 13th. I know some other rankings have them a lot higher than 13th, but come on, it's like we need to separate between form and the total sample size. You can't just do power rankings based on form, because if that was the case after week one, you'd have all the 1-0 teams, the first to 16, and then you'd have the 0-1 teams, 17th to 32. It's just not how it works. You just can't do it like that. You need to take everything into account. And yes, while the Raiders have had two very, very good wins on the bounce, would you say they're better than the teams above them? If they had to play those teams right now in a winner-takes-all, like Super Bowl-type game, would you really be comfortable with taking the Raiders over any of the teams ahead of them?
Probably not, when the way you put it like that.
So I think they're about right. Obviously, if they go into this week and get another win again, they're going to move up. Similar to the Cardinals. The Cardinals start off quite low, keep moving up. You can't just go, the Cardinals have got two wins, they need to go up to the top five in it straight away. It just doesn't make any sense. You need to account for everything. And that's why the Rams are higher than most teams, because they're 2-0, but you just look at the whole package. You look at the coaching, you look at the quarterback, you look at the defense, and you go, there's a reason why us at Arrowhead Pride regard them as the second best team in football at the moment. It's because they have everything to go with the form. There's a reason why the Chiefs have only dropped a third. They might be 1-1, but we know that they are probably better than their 1-1 record and are better than most teams in the league. Like, still going into this week, most people would rather avoid playing the Chiefs than all the other teams, maybe outside of the Bucks. So yeah, it's the way you rank it, really. Like, some people rank it this form, some people rank it on other ways, but each to their own. Collectively, I feel like we've done a pretty good job with this week's rankings. Mm-hmm. Steelers plummeted this week, all the way down to 21st, I think it was. No, not 21st. I think I've got it in front of me. If I could actually just read, then I'll be able to know. All the way down to 18th. So they've plummeted down, but they've got a problem in Ben Roethlisberger. They need to move on from him. They need to put either Mason Rudolph in or sign Cam Newton off the street or something like that, because the way they're going, their defense is going to be wasted. Similar to how, like, we could potentially waste Patrick Mahomes with our horrendous defense. The Steelers could be wasting their amazing defense because of Ben Roethlisberger, like, who's just done. Yeah, but it's an interesting week in power rankings. We don't need to go into it too much because we're going to make this a weekly segment. But overall, I feel like we've got it pretty much spot on this week.
Yeah, I agree.
Biased, of course.
We never really look at the bottom of the power rankings, but I'm gonna take a look. And you've got the Jags, or we've got the Jags down there, haven't we? Mm-hmm. I completely agree with them at the moment. It's I don't know what's going on there with the Jags and then it, but it's a shame really, because I actually wanted to see Trevor Lawrence doing pretty well because I've got him in my fantasy team.
No one cares about your fantasy team, Brad.
No one cares.
Yeah, the Jags are bad. The Lions are bad. The Jets are bad. The Texans have been better than I thought they were going to be. The Giants are bad. There's a few bad teams down there, and I feel like those teams are going to move up and down amongst each other. But right now, it's probably clear to say that the Jags are probably the worst team in football.
Agreed. Okay, then, let's look ahead to week 3, the Chargers. Why is it whenever we go away to Newcastle, it's always the Chargers we're playing?
Is it?
But it was last time, wasn't it? Was it the Chargers last time? Who was it last time?
How drunk have you been on these weekends?
I don't know, man. Seriously, I have no idea.
We played the Titans last time.
We did.
That was the one where Derrick Henry ran all over us, the game I mentioned earlier. And the week before, or the year before, was the Jags game, the one where Jalen Ramsey referred to Tyreek Hill as a return specialist, that one.
We definitely lost one when we played the Chargers. I'm sure we did. But anyway, let's move on. Forget about that. Forget I even said that. So the Chiefs take on the Chargers at Arrowhead, and they're looking to bounce back, obviously, from the disappointing result in Baltimore. But what are we really focusing on this game that the Chiefs have to really look at? Because I see this Chargers team as quite a threat, especially now after we're seeing what happened with the Ravens. Again, they've got another good running back, obviously, in Austin Eckler, but they've also got a really stout quarterback who can throw the ball. I mean, yes, he can throw interceptions, which obviously we saw in week 2. But, this Chargers team is well run, and it's a game the Chiefs have to win in this, especially a division rival. They have to win this game. Is there anything that we think that the Chiefs have to do, really concentrate on without stating the obvious?
Make sure you guard Keenan Allen with your life and try to get some pass rush to Justin Herbert, because if you don't, it could be a really, really long afternoon. And on the other side, you're looking at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes hasn't had the greatest of success against the Chargers. Okay, obviously, it's a different regime in LA now. Gus Bradley's now with the Raiders, I believe, and he's at DC, so it might be a different defensive strategy, but they've matched up kind of well against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs receivers in the past. It's always taken something a little bit special to beat the Chargers, whether that's intercepting Phil Rivers 4 times or Patrick Mahomes throwing 70-yard bombs to Tyreek Hill, like eye through a needle type stuff. So they have to be on it against the Chargers. They always have been, and this week's no exception. The Chargers will fancy themselves, I believe, after seeing what the Ravens done to the Chiefs defense, after seeing success that the Browns had against the Chiefs defense. The Chargers might feel like they have a better offense, a better passing attack than those two teams, and I probably agree with them. Like Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, I probably rank Justin Herbert the best passer of those three. Like, you watch his game against the Cowboys, yes, they might have lost, but some of the passes that guy manages to pull off, like rolling out to his right 40 yards, strikes in between two defenders, like, he's very Patrick Mahomes-y with some of his throws. He really is. It's like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's really, really good. If we weren't holding quarterbacks to the standard of Patrick Mahomes and holding them to like a normal level quarterback play, Justin Herbert would be right up there. So there's a lot to fear on Sunday night. And I'm not too optimistic at this moment in time.
Just looking back on the previous games that the Chargers have had, I mean, they're obviously 1-1 at the moment. They've beaten the Washington football team 2016, and they've obviously actually lost to the Dallas Cowboys 2017. So not high-scoring games.
No.
Which is obviously a plus side for obviously the Chiefs, because you know we have had some high scoring games recently. I would say that's a bit more encouragement for me. I'm quite encouraged at the fact that they're not racking up the big numbers where obviously the Chiefs offense is. But again, I mean, looking at those teams that they've played against, Washington's a good team. Washington is a good team.
Yeah.
But Cowboys, there is question marks over them at the moment
I think Cowboys are a good team too.
Are you serious?
I do. I think the Cowboys, you look at the offense and they're probably the one offense that's most like the Chiefs. They like to They spread everyone out. They like to go with their receivers and get as many pass catchers on the field as possible, similar to the Chiefs. They like to air the ball out, similar to the Chiefs. Like, I think the game when the Cowboys play the Chiefs could be 60 to 65. Like, you could talk like Patrick Mahomes in college type scoring. Like, that's how I feel about the Cowboys offense and the Chiefs defense, and obviously the Chiefs offense and the Cowboys defense. So, from a Chargers point of view, I think it's quite encouraging that they only allowed Dak Prescott and his million weapons to score 20 points. That concerns me a little bit. Derwin James is back now. Derwin James is one of the best safeties in the league, and he's done pretty well against the Chiefs in the past and when he's played. So I am worried about the matchup offensively for the Chiefs, because it's not gone well in the past. And by all accounts, the Chargers defense is playing well again this year.
Yeah. Just looking at the stats as well. I mean, rushing yards in both games, 90 for the Chargers against Washington, 95 against the Cowboys. But the passing yards, they're actually racking up some good passing yards, 334 and 313. So they are clearly a passing team, but will they be tempted, after seeing what they've seen in the Chiefs' previous two games, will they be tempted to abandon that and literally go run heavy on this game?
No. I think they'll be balanced, but I can't see a situation where they're going to say, no, we're not going to pass the ball to Mike Williams. We're not going to pass the ball to Keenan Allen. We're not going to let Justin Herbert do his thing. Austin Eckler will get his touches. What, he had 18 touches on Sunday against the Cowboys for 120 yards. So really productive, obviously, in both receiving and rushing games. So he will get his. But I feel like a balanced offensive attack is probably what the Chiefs will struggle with the most, the threat of the pass and the run. Obviously, this running game doesn't involve Lamar Jackson, which is obviously a massive help for the Chiefs defense.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson can't throw a ball as well as Justin Herbert can. So it's a double-edged sword, really, for the Chiefs defense. Like, you can say pick your poison, but they're both pretty poisonous. And when you're pretty putrid at stopping either of those aspects, then it's not going to be a very good day for the Chiefs defense. I can see a shootout happening. I really can.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that point, actually. I mean, the one thing that I noticed, and I think you noticed this when we were talking previously before the show started, the Chargers offensive line is scarily good as well, isn't it? And trying to get pressure on.
Yeah.
You what, sorry?
It's better for sure.
Yeah. And trying to get some pressure on him in this as well. I mean, he had so much time. I mean, there was actually a play, I think, against the Cowboys where he held the ball for, it felt like 10 minutes. but he was going backwards and backwards and further backwards, and he managed to throw the ball out of bounds at that point. But it's almost like he had too much time.
Yeah.
And that can obviously have a bit of an adverse effect as well. If you've got, you know, everything's well covered, and you've got too much time in your hands, and you literally don't know what you're going to do with it next. Yeah. And I found that the offensive line for the Chargers was pretty darn good. And that's another thing that kind of bothers me a little bit, because this Chiefs defensive line hasn't really got into the pressures, really, of any of the quarterbacks. But like we said, one of them was Lamar Jackson.
Exactly. And this is the important thing. This is where, like, every cloud is important here. Keeping perspective is important. And this is why I'm glad we recorded this show today and not on Sunday, because I've managed to like get some perspective a little bit when it comes to the thing. Like, the Chiefs pass rush was non-existent on Sunday night, but the Chiefs pass rush also probably was playing scared because of the threat of Lamar Jackson taking off, where now there is not that threat with Justin Herbert. He can run, but he doesn't like to run. We saw it last year in a game in LA. Like, he had a prime opportunity to run for a first down and extend the drive.
Threw it, didn't he?
And he decided to throw it. And who did he throw it to? He threw it to L'Jarius Sneed, didn't he? So,
yeah.
Like, he's not like a willing runner. He's certainly not Lamar Jackson. So the Chiefs defense, when they are playing for the pass, they can kind of pin their ears back a little bit. Okay, obviously you're going to have the threat of Austin Ekeler chipping and then going out to the flats and catching passes, but that's just Austin Ekeler. That's the threat that he offers. Steve Spagnuolo needs to keep someone in there to account for him. Obviously, if we had Willie Gay, that would be the ideal person, but it might end up being Dan Sorensen. It might end up being Ben Neiman. Whoever it is, that's their job, is Austin Ekeler. But the guys at the front, if they go with four-man pressures, they go with Jones, Reed, Clark, and say Turk Wharton in the obvious passing downs, they need to get home. And I feel like they will have more success because there's no threat of the running quarterback like from before.
All right, then, ones to watch. Are you going first this week?
Yeah, what team shall I go for first? Let's go for the Chargers. Well, I've talked about him enough. Justin Herbert. I was wrong about him coming out of college. I didn't think that he was the guy. I don't feel like the Chargers felt like he was the guy.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. They come really out and didn't. Said they would have taken Tua. If Tua was there, they said they would have taken Tua. I don't feel like they realized how good this guy was going to be. But he is scarily good. And I kind of wish he wasn't in the AFC West, I'm not going to lie, because I really want to enjoy him. But I'm going into Sunday kind of like fearing him a little bit because he just seems so sensible and like, but sensible, but not in the boring way either. So he's sensible with the football, but he's also really freaking good. Kind of like
susceptible
Patrick
Mahomes. To the odd interception, though. He is quite susceptible to some bonehead players, kind of thing like that.
Maybe, but we like Patrick Mahomes had a bonehead play on Sunday night, but you just get over it, don't you? You get over that. You'll take 98% of the time him being excellent for those 2%. Like, who really cares? Like, if he's going to have one boneheaded play a game, that shouldn't really damage you, really, with the quarterback. So yeah. I'm going with Justin Herbert. I think this rivalry is just getting started between Mahomes and Herbert. And I think this might be the week that actually becomes a rivalry and people recognize it as a rivalry. And yeah, I think he's going to play his part in a classic. I do.
Yeah. All right. What about the Chiefs?
The easy answer would be Patrick Mahomes, wouldn't it?
I don't think we've ever picked Patrick Mahomes, have we?
Yeah. I'm going with Chris Jones. Like,
ooh.
You sat here 15 minutes ago and were saying he needs to go back inside and just play inside. I'm not on that at all.
Go back to what you know, Chris.
I'm looking forward to Chris Jones playing defensive end against the team that he's going to be allowed to just rush the passer. And I feel like he's going to be more effective. Well, he can't be any less effective than he was on Sunday night. I feel like he's going to have a good game and a bit of a bounce back. I don't feel like he's going to be the deciding factor in this game, but I feel like he's going to remind everyone that he can play defensive end, and against pass happy teams, he's going to be pretty good at it.
Yeah. He seems to like bull rush, doesn't he, Chris Jones? He seems to bull rush anybody. He didn't seem to bend the run or anything. He just seems to just bull rush anyone. All right, then I'm going to go with clearly the obvious for the Chargers, Austin Ekeler, because clearly the run is an issue for the Chiefs. And I hope I don't hear his name. I think I really hope for our sake, for the Chiefs' sake, I don't hear his name and he only gets like, I don't know, 21 yards or something. But I just think it's glaringly obvious he's the one to watch for the Chargers, I think, in this game. And the Chiefs, I'm going completely out of left field here. I'm going completely with somebody who's not really heard of as much, but I thought there was the play that he had against the Ravens warrants it. And I'm going with Byron Pringle.
Wow.
I'm going with Byron Pringle because after watching that play and watching it back and seeing, I mean, there was like, what, six Ravens players around him?
Mm-hmm.
And he managed to just, I mean, he was fast. I mean, the way he caught the ball, the speed that he had, and how he managed to get past those defenders was a phenomenal play, and I'm really high on him already. And I hope it's that play that really kind of, you know, pricks the ears of Andy Reid and goes, do you know what? We can use a lot. We can do a lot with that kid.
Yeah.
We can do a lot of plays with him. And I think it was really poignant as well that we're using somebody else. I mean, yeah, I think we used, obviously, McCall Hardman sometimes. And I think DeMarcus Robinson had a couple of catches, didn't he?
He caught a touchdown, didn't he?
Well. He's got a touchdown, yeah. I sent you a smiling emoji on that one. It's my boy, D-Rob. That's my boy. But Byron Pringle, I think he's going to get the nod of a bit more times now. And hopefully he gets a chance against the Chargers.
Yeah. We've, we've, right, I've seen this, heard this multiple times.
Yeah.
Until it becomes a consistent thing, then I'm not. I like Pringle. I feel like he should be the guy after Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I feel like talent-wise, he has more than the others offer. But until we see it on a consistent basis, I just can't crown him that guy. Just can't do it. And it was great. That was a positive from Sunday night, knowing that a team can take away the likes of Tyreek Hill and the other guys can find success, because they did. I think, he threw passes to 8 different receivers on Sunday night, did Mahomes.
9 in total, wasn't it, I think?
Or 9 different pass catches on Sunday night. So that was the encouraging part of it, about that he can spread the ball around to different players if we need to.
Yeah.
But is anyone going to take that step up and grab that third pass catcher role? I don't think this is the week that someone does it.
No. All right. Okay. Predictions. I've gone for a massive shootout here. I've gone 42-38 Chiefs.
Ooh, wow, that is a shootout.
It is a shootout. Imagine that. If that actually comes off, can you imagine that game as being one of the best games of the season, I reckon?
Oh, 100%. And we've seen some really good games so far this season. The Chiefs have been involved in 2 of them, that is for sure. I'm going for a loss.
What?
I am.
You're not convinced with this defense, are you?
The Chiefs seem to... The Chiefs under Andy Reid are really streaky. Really streaky. They very rarely just have one-off game. Whenever they have a loss or a bad game, it tends to roll over for a few games.
Yeah.
And then they sort it out and then they go on another streak. It just happens with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Chargers are the worst possible opponent for the Chiefs right now, because they have absolutely everything that can cause the Chiefs problems. They have a good defense and they have offensive weapons and offensive balance that they can just cause them headaches in both offensively and defensively. And Arrowhead, I think, is going to be nervous on Sunday as well because of how the first two games are played. And I think if things start to go sour early, I'd be interested to know how the Chiefs fans, the Chiefs Kingdom react to that. And also, obviously, another factor in this is the fact that we have an Arrowheads Abroad meetup, which is historically really bad for the Chiefs, because I think our record in total is 4 wins to 15 losses or something like that.
Didn't we lose one when we watched the Jets?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that 2017 streak, you know, when we lost to the Jets and the Giants, I don't know if it's consecutive weeks. Yeah, we had meetups for both of those games. We had meetups for both of those games. So, that doesn't bode well. So I'm actually going for the Chargers to win 33-30.
Really?
Yeah.
Still a shootout, though.
It's still a high-scoring game, but I feel like by Sunday night, the Chiefs could be sitting there as the out-and-out worst team in the AFC West by record. I'll still have them above all those other teams in power rankings next week, by the way. I still have them, because I still think overall they're the better team. But as I said earlier, form doesn't account for everything. So I think the Chargers might probably beat us on Sunday night, but doesn't mean I'm sitting here going to say, oh, the Chiefs aren't going to win the Super Bowl. I still think the Chiefs are the Super Bowl favourites in the AFC.
Yeah,
but right now they aren't in a good place.
Just need to sort a few things out, don't they?
Exactly.
Right, that's all we've got time for this week. You can listen to the Great British Chiefs Show every Wednesday during the 2021 season. Huge shout out to those of you who have been leaving reviews again, because again, we've been getting some absolute beautiful ones in there as well, which are awesome. Remember, you can listen to more Chiefs-related content here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, which can be heard on Apple Podcasts and even Spotify. But all that's left to say here is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.